All right, welcome everyone to the Crea Edita podcast. And today we're just going to be talking about your thoughts and experiences with video editing. And then we're also going to be talking a little about my projects. I'd like to start off with everyone introducing yourself and kind of like what you do.
Okay, my name's Kate. I work at Concert Cruise Events. I'm the general manager there, and we do artists, festivals, bands, and concerts on cruises. We go from LA to Ensenada for 3 nights, and we have to do a bunch of marketing and advertising, and staff schedules and artist schedules, events, all that good stuff.
Okay, great. And then you, AJ?
Well, as Wyatt said, I go by AJ. My name's Alan. I am a student here in the United States of the state of Idaho. I go to Renaissance High School. I mostly do video editing in class projects. I tend to take on that role very often. I've done a few personal projects, both in YouTube videos and series, editing shorts or TikToks or things that people have seen like that. I've also taken a multiple like theater. I've done theater and advertised for a theater for a Thespians Guild at Renaissance High School and for a film club at Renaissance High School as well. So I have a lot of more personal rather than professional experience when it comes to video editing.
Okay, perfect. I'm gonna start off with kind of explaining what my project is. So my project is it's named Crea Edita, which basically means like creating and editing in Spanish. And basically my project is in Todos Santos. There's not a lot of opportunities to learn how to edit videos. I personally super like really enjoy editing videos. It's one of my hobbies, and I've had a TikTok account with over 5,000 followers from learning how to edit videos and stuff like that. And when I wanted to kind of learn more, there was no opportunities here besides YouTube and stuff. And so I wanted to either create a club or a class here that could teach adolescents how to edit videos and provide equipment and programs, so no one needs to worry about having to being in like a bad financial situation and wanting to do this but not being able to because of their financial situation or their at-home situation.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I know. That's a really great of you, Wyatt. I mean, you're bringing opportunities when you because you know there are none. Proud of you.
Thank you. So this one is for mainly for you, Kate, because you live here obviously, but you might be able to chime in, AJ, if you want. Why do you think it's important to have these kinds of programs here?
So I think it's really important because, kids like to, adolescents like to express themselves, and they want to make something real, instead of, just kind of scrolling through their social media. They want to be a part of it. And so being able to kind of get into the mix of it and create their own stories can really help them come out of their shells, as well as just going back to being able to express yourself. I mean, it's super important to, especially in a small town like this, you kind of just either fit in a circle of people or you don't. And it can really let you branch out and create more of your own personality through these kind of classes or a club or something like that.
No, I do think that that's great. You editing as a form of personal expression. I didn't think of that point when I first heard the question, but I do actually find that really interesting, Kate, especially seeing as I mean, I'm not sure if this is something that you guys have covered because again, I don't live in the area, but especially here, at least, especially when it comes to opportunities, careers, skills, AI has become a very predominant force. It is certain skills will be overtaken when it comes to AI and the prominence in that department, and that limits opportunities, especially if you come from small towns where learning video editing isn't possible, which is again why I really like that you're doing this, Wyatt. But finding creative skills like video editing is especially important today because something AI can't do is creative expression. And as the way AI works and AI training works, you have to feed something into it and then it analyzes it and tries to basically copy it. It just becomes a slop version of whatever, maybe an artwork or an essay or whatever you put into it. And in finding opportunities like video editing and learning that skill, we are able to, you would be able to, I think, develop yourself better. I just think that if you have a passion for it, having it available to you is really important. And in your guys' case where it's not, that could be a massive deterrent and cause someone to fall behind, especially when they come maybe to a more what's a populated city, I guess, because you guys live somewhere small. So, and finding an opportunity like that, I think is absolutely important and kind of, it would be detrimental if you could, if someone just didn't have the ability to learn video editing when they needed to or when they wanted to.
Kind of to bank off the fact that you mentioned AI, do you have any like experiences where maybe in like your school where your classmates have been, just been using AI to edit their class projects or such? And like how has it like turned out if that has happened?
Okay, it's not, when it comes to AI, most students tend to prefer using it for like where it's not easily seen in like writing and things like that. But I there is this one specific example that I'm thinking of where a student, I'm not going to name them because that would just be rude, but a student in the, I guess it's called Renaissance Report, the film club that I was talking about. One of them was caught trying to use AI to like use specific to access like weird distinct filters on their videos. And it like they wanted it because AI can't AI could like draw or actually do like visual editing like on a screen when it comes to maybe like when it comes to putting, I don't know how I describe this. I'm not too knowledgeable on AI, in case you can't tell. But I mean, I don't use it that often at all. The most.
Do the teachers in your school like prohibit you guys from using it at all?
In the West Ada School District, actually, they've become more open to the use of AI in specific like ways. You can use it to find sources just fine, but if you use it to write a project, then yeah, of course, that's not okay. And in this case, AI falls under the writing a project aspect where you just do none of the work and try to reap the rewards of the results, which is why in this situation, luckily, the teacher that runs Renaissance Report, he trained himself to actually see AI. Multiple students have been, because he's our English teacher, multiple students have been caught like writing AI under him, and he's like, eh, to you. And in this situation, he did notice that, and that student was caught for it. But I have seen it, and it really, how do I put this? It was a crappy video to begin with, and it became crappier with the edit, with the AI assisting in the editing. Because again, when you feed something into that turns that gives you with kind of usable slop, it's still slop. But in terms of other AI examples, I couldn't name any. Most students at Renaissance tend to avoid using AI, especially for something like a video.
Kate, I know that like for I'm sure you've seen this, AJ, like you're scrolling on your For You page or something and you see like a business and they're advertising their stuff, but it's like an A obviously AI like made video,
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
has that ever Have you guys ever tried doing that, or are you guys solely just using video editors, Mom or Kate?
I think we the majority of the time we're actually using people. We use video editors because we have we'll have video teams and photography teams come on board during the events, and we give them a specific shot list that we want, whether it's guests boarding the ship, whether it's artists performing, their favorite songs, or artists interacting with guests. And then after the event is over, they have a list of deliverables that we give them to, to basically give us, that's how they get paid, basically, to create all of the cuts and the transitions and ad words and, do a voiceover, and put it all together so that we can use it for marketing and advertising for the next event. And so it's mainly video editing. Excuse me. I do think that we'll create an AI still. So it's just a picture of,
Yeah, like a stock
people.
image.
Yeah, of people having fun on a cruise ship. But I haven't seen us use an actual video of AI.
And then for AJ, more of like, since you told me how you've had like some YouTube series and editing for school projects, what kind of like, first of all, what kind of like inspired you necessarily to like get into doing that?
When it comes to, I guess, fun fact, it would probably start with middle school. I have always taken an interest into film and recording software, most particularly. And I guess what served as the main inspiration for me kind of falling into this rabbit hole of learning and wanting to video edit is because I've always been like a YouTube kid since like, I mean, why? I'm pretty sure we watched a few YouTube videos together when you were
We've made some
YouTube.
YouTube
We have actually, but I don't know how I word this. I guess when it came to actually delving into the process of creating a video and perhaps uploading it publicly, or just kind of have or just having like this little nice memoir or edit or something, just because you want to have it and you wanted to put your time into something like it. It was kind of the editing process and the idea that you could take this boring or maybe simplistic clip and with the tools at hand in technology, create make something entertaining, make something interesting, make something eye-catching. It's that process that I found particularly entertaining, at least to me, especially when I put in a lot of work or a lot of time, and I am really happy with the result. And it's just kind of, I've made a video and I've rewatched it like, what, three, four, five times after like making it. And then maybe like once a month, a few months after making it, just because I feel pride when I look at a product that I've made and I'm actually happy with it. That's
Yeah.
it's the effort and reward that kind of I think draw me in. And the most effort is generally put into like the hours you could spend editing the video. As much as it is, because it's always like usually a team effort when it comes to producing a video, like recording, filming. But I mean, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, but when it comes to school projects or even making videos, I'm often like editing by myself completely, which is a lot of which can be a lot of work and a lot of time. But it's just that when I see that final bit, the final video result that was all that's efforts were all on my shoulder there, I kind of, I don't know, it feels great, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I can relate to that a little bit for when I was for when I made like a couple YouTube videos, you know, when I was younger, I used to make the YouTube videos of Roblox or just regular games or
I
whatever.
remember those videos.
Yeah,
Those were embarrassing.
and then also just doing like for the TikTok account that I actually was pretty successful with, you know,
I remember.
it was really satisfying to make something and then you're like, wow, I did this, you know, like this is really cool,
Exactly.
you know.
And for other people that obviously you don't know are appreciating it as well. And so that's like even more of the reward, not only yourself feeling the pride, but other people recognizing it and liking it too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
It is.
I think definitely something that helps you like keep motivating to keep editing video to keep editing videos is like either you're for the school projects, you're showing them to your classmates and they're like, oh wow, you did a great job, or having a social media page and posting that and seeing positive comments, you know, like that's always super like reinforcing.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And then, so have you always been like, did the skill come naturally to you, AJ, or did you have any like hardships while trying to learn how?
Oh, without a doubt, it did not come naturally. I was hoping it would when I first started. When you I mean, you've seen editing software, both of you. When you imagine I think 13, 12-year-old me downloading a random editing software that was like free and really good. And then seeing this massive wall of what the is this?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
What are these words mean? There's no guide for this. What the heck? And I was like, I tried putting something together. Dang, it was sad. It wasn't sad. It was more like it was basically just cuts. That was it. But of course, as with any skill, you do pick up things maybe a bit like faster naturally. I will say that because I've always been the type of person into computers and tech and technology, I kind of did manage to pick up a few things pretty simply and pretty easily. And I could go off of like references, maybe like refer to my favorite YouTuber or like guides I'd find online, which made, of course, the learning curve much, much easier than it would have been if I just tried experimenting and testing out editing software. But I don't think it didn't come naturally to me at all, and I don't think it will ever come naturally for me. When it comes to learning something new, I just kind of have to dedicate myself to understanding why it works this way. Why did they organize this? Why did they put this section here? What does this do, and how could that contribute to a video and or a product? Or maybe what do these list of words mean? It's just kind of, I really don't think it's something that's possible to come naturally to someone unless you somehow have Google in your brain. There's just too much, I think. But if I may have like a counter question real quick, why did you ask that? Do you think it did it come naturally for you, Wyatt?
For me personally, like I remember like the first editing software I used was CapCut, and CapCut is relatively, you know, beginner friendly. They have some tutorials and stuff. And so
That's true.
after
I wish I
doing
started with
that,
that.
yeah, and after doing that and like I remember watching a YouTuber and they were advertising their editing software and their link, and so I was like, oh, I know how to use CapCut, you know. Like I thought they were all the same. And so I'm like, okay, I might as well try this one. And so I went and I downloaded it. And then I saw it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like a whole different thing from
Yeah.
using CapCut, you know?
You and
Like,
I had like the opposite of the
yeah,
experience.
I think like CapCut for sure is like super easy to use and it's super nice for beginners. But I think once you start really like getting into it, you
Oh, yeah.
realize that like the quality's not very good, you know, and there's not a lot of like.
For
There's
me,
not
I
a.
found that there wasn't any creative liberty. Sorry for
That's
interrupting.
yeah. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like creative freedom. You know what to like. You can't really create anything because they already created everything for you.
Exactly.
And so the bigger softwares, they definitely have like that advantage where you're like, I can do what I want, but I have no idea how to do what I want.
Yeah, you just have to kind of, you have to learn how to do it rather than, you know, it's some, because most of the times it's even like YouTube videos or guides, they're not going to be able to tell you exactly what you're looking for most of the time. Like, yeah, I can learn how to turn a still image into like a panning shot, but a video, YouTube video will tell me that, but it's not going to tell me how to use my exact, maybe this exact image I'm using, or maybe like the exact speed, distance, or it will, maybe it won't account for orientation or how I want to move the, or how I want to quote unquote move, because really you're not moving a camera when you're editing a video, a photo like that, or how I, or it's just obvious, it will always come with some kind of learning curve, whether great or small, and I just kind of felt like it's, feel like it's important to highlight that, especially at least in my experience, because if you go into it expecting not to have to put in time or effort into it, then you're going in completely wrong.
Do
Yeah,
you? Oh, go ahead.
I think so. I think that's for sure. Like, sometimes people, you know, kids especially, they want to do something that's easy. And so if you're, you know, you want to kind of make sure that they're there, that they really want to learn to grow within the editing process. Because yeah, like you do start out with a CapCut. You know, I've even used CapCut and I'm far from a video editor. So I have not seen anything different. You know, I just go in there and make birthday videos for my girls, you know, in there. So I think starting out super basic like that, but also bringing in different softwares and different perspectives on what you can do, because like you were saying, it's already created for you. You're just kind of putting it together. So there's not really anything to, you know, express your own ideas or how to do things. It's, you know, it's super structured. You can't even change, can't change much. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of assets you have for the class.
Like, kind of banking off that, what, like, assets or recommendations would you guys give me to help like motivate the kids in the class?
Kate, do you want to go first or should I? I was gonna start.
Yeah, I mean it's harder to do it in a smaller town, but if you can find you know, either young adults or you know, just adults in general that have experience and kind of just doing like a spotlight person that, you know, just comes in and kind of shows their perspective, I think that would be really cool. Maybe even, you know, doing a Zoom call with someone who's not in town, who can, you know, share. There's so much technology these days that, you know, you can just reach out to somebody and they can show, you know, what they're looking at and how they edit things, you know, pretty easily. So I think bringing like spotlight people in to, you know, just help show different perspectives would be a good motivation.
Yeah, I do, because it is shown that when it comes to finding examples and showcasing those examples, especially people who are definitely more experienced in the field or maybe more directly involved in the editing process, they, having them at least describe it or explain it and at least make it appealing will definitely be a decent way to motivate them. I do think that focusing, especially because I'm banking off of Kate here, focusing especially on like making the pro, showing the how appealing the process is, because of course the effort required and video editing itself may not be for everyone when it comes, when even if they're slightly interested in learning, but fine, but showcasing the appeal to those who want to put in the work, who want to put in the effort, and who want to learn, and make it, maybe making them feel rewarded themselves when they even do something small. I do think that when it comes to motivation, a lot of it is figuring out what works for someone individually.
Okay.
If right. someone is more into, like, they like putting in an effort into something and they like learning the process, maybe focusing on, for them, showcasing what different functions of a software do, or how, or maybe how they can make some new and unique effect that they don't know about already. But if it's someone who's more interested in like making videos themselves and the pro and like the final product, simply showing them maybe your own work and the and talking about the reward you felt in the passion you put into this video or product, and the passion and hard work you put in, and the effort you put into it, making it all the more better. Finding ways to emotionally appeal to them as much as like impressionably appeal to them, like Kate was describing, at least that's how I interpreted it. And make intermingling those two, I think, would be very powerful.
Okay. Yeah, I think those
are... If that made sense.
Yeah, I get
what you mean. Feel free to ask and clarify.
No, I get what you mean. I fully agree. You know, like, it really, like, teaching people something, it really, like, everyone has a different, like, way of learning, you know? Like, it's definitely not going to be the same for everyone. So I think for sure, like, just paying attention to what they want to do and basing what I'm going to teach them off of that is a great idea. And then I was also kind of listening to you, and I was hearing is like people that like aren't like super motivated to do it. You know, I think that video editing is such like a crucial skill nowadays that I think really everyone should, like, regardless of like wanting to do it or not, should like know the basics bare minimum.
At the very least, right?
Yeah. And so what I kind of, my next question is like, how could we attract people to like to come to the program that maybe not necessarily like, they obviously, the video editing is the main thing, but how could we bring them in to like maybe having like a fun area or something like that, like something like kind of specific things to like attract people besides the video editing to like make people want to come.
I think, like you were saying, kind of teaching the core skills, but bringing them in is kind of, you have to make it real. So whether it's, you know, making a music video or interviewing someone or, you know, doing a vlog or a meme or something like that. Just find some kind of interest that's going to kind of spark their interest. And then, you know, do like an icebreaker or something that doesn't have anything to do with the class, just to kind of get everyone involved. And then, you know, and then you can start, you know, kind of going into the core skills of it all.
I think that's good. I think you should
keep it like super basic.
Yeah. I do think that at first and foremost, it's about getting them comfortable and willing to learn. It's definitely, right. I do think that, something like an icebreaker that maybe I wouldn't want it to make it related to the content, but more like maybe showcase and allow someone to express their interest or at least their own individual interests rather than for, because of course the end goal of the class is to educate them on how they can edit videos and the skills related to that. But beyond that, students are still individuals and they might have things that are separate from that aspect. Maybe just I do think that having an icebreaker where they go over their interests and then maybe somehow figure out how to tie that into the skills that they're going to be learning or why they're going to be leaving the skills at the very end would definitely be a really good way to at least garner more motivation since that is your goal.
Okay.
Maybe if you give them Coca-Cola,
You should bribe them, Wyatt. That's what you need to do.
I was about to say like have a like maybe part two. And yeah, we're back again. What was I gonna say? What was I gonna say? Like have maybe like advertise it, be like, hey, we have kind of show like a picture and get like a nice area with like some beanbag chairs, you know, some maybe some nice like equipment to bring them in, have play like maybe after class or something. Like I like how you said like an icebreaker, maybe have like a separate activity altogether, you know, just to like warm everyone up and create that kind of like, because I think something super important, especially, you know, like for example, for when you're going to school, you know, you're not excited, you're almost never excited to go to school, but you're excited to go see your friends or, you know, or do an activity, and then that lets you like kind of focus on school. And so I think making sure that like there's something else to look forward to, maybe if they're not like super excited to learn how to video edit, but they want to go play like football, or maybe I can do like some video games before starting, you know, just having another activity and like snacks and Coca-Cola, like you said, mom, you know. Just having something else besides the video class to attract them. Oh, go ahead. No, I was gonna go into a different question, so. Okay. And kind of going back to like what I said about the equipment. What equipment do you guys think I'm going to need to be able to teach it properly and not like it not be a hard process to do? Like what equipment am I going to need? Or we could project it onto a whiteboard and then draw on the whiteboard and like shows. Oh yeah, for sure. I'm like, I think actually that kind of gives me an idea. Maybe we could start with, you know, the CapCut thing, like you were saying, Kate, have like bring in the basics, you know, to kind of like inspire them and show them that this is like a cool thing, and then maybe because another problem that is portraying itself in my project is I don't have this equipment. I need a donator. And and so maybe something we could do was like after we teach the kids to like have the basic videos, like start a couple social media pages and post their videos, you know, and maybe put like a GoFundMe, you know, and like these are like have pictures of the kids learning and everything and showing that like we're doing it, but we could do it a lot better with your help. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, do you guys have any like other suggestions that I could do to maybe look for a donor or just more have my program be more attractive so I can get donors? I had actually in the last the in the last entrevista, the interview I did, this one of my friends, Caleb, he was telling me how a lot of people, you know, have a lot of old laptops and stuff, and so maybe and looking on like Facebook Marketplace and going to thrift shops, you know, would be a good idea to get like some laptops and stuff for a lot cheaper. Yeah, for sure. I think the Todos Santos newsfeed, that's a great idea. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of, I think, is even for the Palapa, the school I go to, you know, most of the donators are gringos, and I feel like that's like, you know, I feel like when all the, what's the word, like when the gringos move here, they're, what are they called? Expats, yeah. When all the expats move here, you know, I think a lot of them are, you know, decently wealthy, and they see the community, and they're like, I want to help out, you know, and I think just making sure like my program is kind of like heard, you know, I think would be a really good idea to attract donors. Actually, that makes me think of another thing. What kind of like videos would you think you guys think would be the most attractive to attract donors, you know, what type of videos specifically? Okay. I think like obviously the goal would be free, you know, but it really depends on if I can get donations and stuff like that. It really is depending. Yeah, the goal is to get it free for everyone, you know, because not everyone has that money they can just put in for the equipment. But maybe even just like a small like yeah, that might be a good idea too. I think, okay. I think another thing that, like, kind of going off what you said, is that, you know, some people, I'm sure some of the kids here, you know, aren't, you know, they don't have bad financial situations, and they have the equipment and maybe some extra equipment. So maybe we could be like, hey, bring your equipment and then along the extra equipment, you know? And I think that might be helpful to, like, have everyone share their stuff. And then, AJ, for the you were talking about how like showcasing the benefits of the class, you know, what benefits are you talking about? Like, could you be a little bit more specific there? I think that's definitely some great points, you know. Especially with all the social media and everything nowadays, there's so many opportunities for video editors. It's kind of insane. And then yeah, but kind of banking off that, Kate, like, is your business like need in like do you guys need video editors to like to function? Okay. And when you guys are hiring video editors, like, do you have any like specific video editing skills that are that you want them to know? Okay. So it's more of like a communication thing, you know, making sure like you guys are both expressing like what you want and what you need and your ideas and everything, and then also being able to learn from your mistakes, you know. Okay. Do you have anything to chime in for that, AJ, or should I move on? Okay, that I really like that. Okay. And do you guys think it would be a good idea to maybe search for potential partnerships with businesses and maybe getting donations from them and turn to in turn for free advertise or for advertise, I guess not free since they're donating, but for advertisement, you know. Yeah, I for sure I like that a lot. Another thing that I've been thinking about is at least for me personally, you can kind of tell me your side, AJ, but for me personally, when I started video editing and stuff, it really helped me learn what I like. You know, it helped me kind of shape a little part of my identity, you know? Do you think that is the same for other people? You know, AJ, is that the same for you? No problem. Okay, no problem. Maybe we can just go a little bit more into the business thing. Is it like, do you know if it's like if the your video editors are paid well? Okay. Yeah, that's I definitely the ratio and stuff is always sometimes confusing when you're going from the different platforms. Yeah, here, I'm gonna. All right, go ahead. It was you were talking about Kate asked you about your like the subject that you kind of yeah. Okay. Damn. Dang, that sucks. Oh, okay. Oh my God. He's all right. He's all right. That sucks. Good job. Good job. Really? You should send it to me after. I want to it. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, nice. Dang. Okay. Popularity contest. Okay. Having popularity contests? Yeah, I think, yeah, for video editing, trial and error, such a big thing. Oh my God. Yeah, it's the steps to get up to the success. Exactly. Yeah, I like that too. Okay. All right, and to kind of wrap it up for the last kind of topic, what do you guys think success would look like for my project? Like, what would people, what would I need to do for you guys to be like, oh, okay, this project is a success. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So just kind of knowing that what I did helped them like kind of realize something about themselves. All right. Do you have anything else, Kate, or All right, great. Thank you guys for participating. Have a great night. All right.